This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Joshua chapter number 10. This is probably one of the most unique passages in all of the book of Joshua. There is a miracle that takes place here that the Bible says that it's never ever happened before, verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it. Listen, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. This is the story of when time stood still. Never before has this happened, and the Bible says never again will it happen, that God would actually hearken to the voice of a man as Joshua called out and asked the sun and the moon to stand still as he fought this battle. Critics have tried to destroy this passage. This is probably one of the most debated chapters in all of science and astrology. They try to discredit the Bible, but how many knows God's word is true? Say amen. So let's look at the text this morning. Verse number 1. Now it came to pass when Adoniah Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done it to Ai and her king, and now the inhabitants of Gibeon, remember we read about this in our sermon series, how Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. And they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was mightier than Ai, and all the men therefore were mighty. The word is getting out. Israel's army is growing. Not only has Gibeon is living within the realm of Israel, but their warriors have yoked up with the warriors of Israel, and God is using them in a great and mighty way. The Bible says that the nations of the Amorites, verse 2, they are now fearing. As a result of that, you'll see in verse number 3, the five kings that are the five kings of the Amorites, they are fearing. And the Bible says in verse 4, it says, come up unto me and help me. This is the king of Jerusalem. He says, verse 4, come up to me and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it had made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, this is five nations that Joshua is getting ready to battle. If he loses this battle, then the promises of God become void. The promises of God concerning the Messiah, Israel, and much, much more becomes void if this five kings are not destroyed. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, the Bible says, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them. That is, the Lord just took care of them. Somebody say amen. The Lord took care of them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of all Israel, the Bible says, he said, sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. The Bible says in verse 14, and there was no day like it before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord thought for Israel. I want you to be seated. We're going to talk about this amazing miracle that is found here in chapter number 10, and I'm simply going to entitle the sermon, When Time Stood Still. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us, and help us, Lord, to find principles and precepts from the Word of God to encourage us and help us to be the people of God you have called us to be. And we will pray this and ask this in the lovely name of Jesus, and all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, you and I, we are marching on a spiritual journey. The Bible is teaching us all through Genesis to Revelation that we are to conquer our Canaan and possess our possessions. Our Canaan is a spiritual Canaan. Our possessions are not material, but they are spiritual. And so all of us in here this morning that is saved by the grace of God, God has called you on this missional journey to conquer your Canaan and to possess your spiritual blessings that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what you need to keep in mind when you're reading the book of Joshua. Canaan land does not represent heaven. Canaan land represents the victorious Christian life. And as we engage in spiritual battles and we push back our enemies and we defeat our enemies, God is moving us forward, and God wants us to claim our spiritual blessings and our spiritual happiness, the victorious Christian life. That's what this is all about. So when you see Joshua conquering his enemies, God wants you to conquer your enemies. When you see Joshua praying, God wants you to pray. When you see Joshua giving glory to God, God wants you to give glory to the Lord. This is the analogy, this is the illustration that we should come from, that we come from when we read the book of Joshua. Canaan land represents the victorious Christian life. And in the victorious Christian life, there are battles that you're going to have to face. Some of you already this morning, you're going through some type of battle. You've got division within your home. You're looking at divorce. Some of you are even looking at a loved one who may die. And you've got these spiritual battles that you are dealing with. All of us are going to face spiritual battles. If you believe it, say amen. You need to know that what the Lord said to Peter, that he says to us this morning in Luke chapter 22 and in verse number 31, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You need to know this morning that it is the desire of the devil to destroy your marriage, to destroy your testimony, to attack your family, to do all that he can to discourage you and to keep you discouraged. His desire is to sift you as wheat. What Jesus said to Peter is true of us. We have a battle that we have to face. We have a challenge that's down the road, and God is calling us to the victorious Christian life to conquer our Canaan and to possess our spiritual blessings in him. If you believe it, say amen. Now, our battles may not be physical like Joshua's. Our battles are primarily spiritual. But you'll know that with every spiritual battle, there is consequences in the physical world. When we disobey God, there is consequences in the physical world. When we are not conquering our Canaan, there are consequences in the physical world. There are some that have disobeyed God and they've not moved forward in a missional manner. And the consequence in the physical world was divorce. The consequence in the physical world may have been division among a relationship. The consequence in the physical world may have even resulted in somebody dying because they did not obey and trust the Lord for their provisions within their life. You need to understand that our battles may not be necessarily physical, where we are fighting with our fist. We fight with our faith. But with those spiritual battles, there are consequences in the physical world. But here's what you need to know, and this is the good news that we have this morning. With every battle that we face, God provides his miracle working power. God not only provides his miracle working power, but he fights on our behalf as we do his will. And this is what you have in Joshua chapter number 10. God is going to work a miracle in Joshua's life and in the nation of Israel. It's not only the miracle of the sun standing still, but the miracle of God's power. Because as you read the chapter, you will find out that God sent hailstones. And the Bible says that God slaughtered and slew more of the Amorites with the hailstones than when the people of Israel with their sword. What you have here is God's miracle power at work. What you have here is God fighting on our side. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this. If you are in the center of God's will and you are conquering your Canaan and you're trying to possess your possessions, if it takes a miracle from God, if it takes God standing directly by your side, he will do whatever is necessary for you and I to conquer our Canaan and to possess our spiritual possessions in Christ. Let's give him praise and glory in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. So this is the story of Joshua chapter number 10. And here's what I want you to know this morning. The narrative of Joshua 10 necessarily doesn't focus on the miracle. Now the miracle's wonderful. The miracle is great. Without a doubt, this is a miracle from God. It goes against the laws of logic. It goes against the laws of nature. It goes against the laws of science. This is a miracle from God. But the passage, we should not necessarily focus on the miracle, not even the miracle of the hailstones that defeated many of those five Amorite nations. Our focus this morning ought to be on the intervention of God. The intervention of God. If you see anything in the passage, you need to see that God intervenes on our behalf. And some of you need to know that this morning. Some of you need to hear that within your heart. You're facing a brand new year in the next upcoming days. And perhaps this past year hasn't been the best year for you. You need to know that God intervenes on the behalf of his people. You need to know that God hears your prayers. You need to know this morning that God loves you and that it's not God's desire for you to live in discouragement and defeat. It is not God's desire for you to be dismayed in your life. It is God's desire for him to delight you with his goodness and his grace and his favor and his mercy. Somebody say amen. And so you need to know this morning that the passage is reminding me and the passage is reminding you of the intervention of God. And you think about it this morning, how many times has God intervened in your life? And unmistakably, you knew it was God. Unmistakably, you knew that it was God that had protected you. It was God that had sheltered you. It was God that granted you mercy. It was God. It was God that brought healing to that loved one. How many can say amen? Oh, I'm so glad for the times that God has intervened on my behalf to watch over my family, to protect our church, to help us to move forward. This is what the passage should be focusing on, not necessarily the miracle, which is one of the great miracles of the Bible. This has never happened before. It's never happened again that God actually hearkens to a voice of a man as Joshua in a reckless, bold faith says, sun and moon, stand still. It's never happened before where God hearkened. Though that miracle is wonderful and great, our focus this morning ought to be on the intervention of God. Listen, just as God fought on the behalf of Israel, he fights on our behalf today. If you believe that, say amen. Listen to what the Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God fights on our behalf. Now, I want you to look at the text this morning in chapter number 10. Now, this is the most critical battle that Israel is going to face. They've come through Jericho. They have beat Ai. They have been snowballed, if you will, by Gibeon. And now they have tricked them into letting them come into their camp and Israel protecting them. They have sworn to be their bond slaves for all these days. They've gotten through all of these things, but this battle is going to be different from all the other battles. Five kings have gathered together against Israel. And so all the promises of God hang upon this balance. God had promised that he would send the Messiah and that the Messiah would come through the nation of Israel. If Joshua fails here, there are some dramatic things that would happen afterwards. God has promised, and this is God's will for the nation of Israel, to drive out the enemies, to possess the land, because God has a plan to send his son, Jesus Christ, into the land of Israel and to preach and teach and to die and to rise again on the third day on our behalf. Somebody say amen. He promised that he would be born in that land. Therefore, all the promises of God depend on the outcome of this battle. It is important for Joshua to be in the will of God. It is important for Joshua to see God's hand and to trust in God, because all of God's promises at this point hinges upon this one battle. Now, you need to know this morning that the critics of the Bible view this story as a myth. They view it as legend or a fairy tale. They would chalk up Joshua chapter number 10 in the same category as Jonah and the whale, or perhaps the crossing of the Red Sea. That it's just folklore, it's myth, it's legend, it's fairy tale, and perhaps no other story in all the Bible has been more mocked and ridiculed and scorned by the critics of the Bible. The critics of the Bible say, making time stand still? Really? Making time stand still? Well, that's against the laws of nature. If time were to stand still and the earth stopped rotating on its axis, if that was to actually happen, there would be cataclysmic things that would happen on planet Earth. So this is a lie. This is fairy tale. This is just a folklore. This is a myth. I got news for the critics today. There is something much higher than the laws of nature, and it's God Almighty that sits on his throne, and God's laws can trump nature's laws. A God who made nature's law. If God says sun stand still, if God says moon don't shine, if God says this to the sea and to the sky, whatever God says go, because he's the creator and the sustainer of all things, and we ought to give him praise and glory in the house of God. Hallelujah to his name. The Bible says that God intervened supernaturally, and God overrides the laws of nature and creates a miracle. Now, you need to understand the passage. To understand the passage, you've got to consider the ancient world. The ancient world, their mindset was much different from ours. The ancient mind believed that the sun moved around the earth, giving the effect of what we call a sunrise and a sunset. But you and I both know that the sun doesn't rise and that the sun doesn't set. More, we've learned from science that it's the earth that rotates around the orbit of the sun. And there are times that it gives the appearance as it rotates and it spins on its axis. It gives the appearance of a sunrise and a sunset. That's why Dr. Norman Geisler, he said this. He said, if the earth's rotation was completely stopped, we must remember that God is not only capable of halting the rotation of the earth for a whole day, but he is also able to prevent any possible effects that might result from the cessation of the earth's rotation. What's going on here is, in the ancient mind, they believed the sun would rise and the sun would set. You and I know today, through modern technology and through science and all of this, that the earth actually rotates upon an axis. And it circles the earth. What happened here is that God stopped time, and God literally puts his finger on the earth, and the earth stops rotating around the sun, giving the appearance of an entire extra day. Now, you can study this out for yourself. There's been many people that's looked back through the history of time. You've got the Chinese, and I believe it was the Inca Indians, and some others that looked back, and they discovered that there is a whole day that is missing in our timeline. I want you to know that the day that they discovered that was missing is the day that you are reading here. God gave a whole day. Joshua knew that, Lord, if you don't give me more sunlight, if you don't give me more time, I'm not going to be able to fight these five armies. And God did a supernatural miracle that day. He stopped time so Joshua could continue to fight, because these five armies had to be eradicated so the Son of God could be born in Jerusalem. There would be a nation, there would be a Bible that was written and produced where you and I could give God honor and glory. Somebody say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah to his name. You say, Brother David, how is it possible that the earth stopped moving? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and upholding all things by the word of his power. If God said stop, it would stop. If God said spin, it would spin. He holds all things by the word of his power. You say, how can God manipulate the sun? The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 7, he is the father of lights. Some would say amen. He's the father of all lights. He is the creator of the sun. He is the sustainer of the moon. He is the creator of the stars. He is the father of lights. You say, well, how could it be that the sun would stop? It would damage man, and it would cause cataclysmic things to happen on the earth. I got news for you, friend. Listen to me. I got news for you. There's coming a day that God's not, he's not even going to need of the sun. Did you know that? Listen to this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, talking about heaven. And the city had no need of the sun. What? Well, where are we going to get light from? Neither the moon to shine in it. Watch this. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, when you get to heaven, you're not going to need the S-U-N because you've got the S-O-N. Someone say amen. You've got the Son of God and the brightness of his glory and the wonder of his power will light up all that majestic city that you and I call the New Jerusalem, and we will give him honor and glory and praise throughout all of eternity. And so if God needs the sun, he'll use it. If God doesn't need it, he'll move it away because his glory will always be revealed. Here's what I want to do this morning in the time that we have. I want to give you three keys to spiritual victory. Three keys to spiritual victory. Now keep in mind the analogy. Canaan land represents the victorious Christian life. Joshua represents a Christian going into battle and pushing back the darkness, and pushing back the enemies so that he can claim the spiritual blessings and territories that God wants him to have. So keep that in mind as we go through. If you're taking notes, let's start with point number one. Here's the first key to spiritual victory. Number one, you've got to have a determination to fight. You have got to be willing to get off the bench and get in the game. Somebody say amen. You've got to be willing to sell out to God. There's no time for compromise. There's no time for complacency. You've got to get up, and God is looking for total commitment from a child of God. If you want spiritual victory in your life, you've got to make a determination, I'm going to fight. Better yet, you've got to make a declaration of war on your enemies. You've got to notify all of that spiritual darkness, notify the devil himself that you are standing on God's side, that you are trusting in God's word, that you won't give up and you won't give out and you won't give in. You make a declaration of war on the devil. Somebody say amen. And that's what the Bible is teaching here. Look at verse number 9. Joshua is so determined to fight that when he gets a message that these five kings are going to attack Gibeon, that the Bible says in verse number 9, Joshua therefore came unto them. What's the next word, church? Suddenly. See that in verse 9? Joshua came up upon them suddenly, without hesitation, without gathering together to consult some type of committee, without praying about it for days and days and days. Joshua knows this is the will of God. Listen to me now. You do not have to pray about the will of God. You don't have to pray about tithing. You don't have to pray about supporting missions. You don't have to pray about soul winning. You don't have to pray about praying. That is the will of God for your life. You don't have to pray about the will of God. Joshua, when he heard that the enemy had come into Canaan land, suddenly, the Bible says, without any hesitation whatsoever, without having any time to consult a committee, without any time of consulting anybody, the Bible says, and suddenly, the Bible says, he went up from Gilgal. The Bible says in verse number 10, and the Lord discomfited them. Whatever that word means, it basically would mean God just completely wiped them out. God was taking care of business. Whatever happened that day, it wasn't Joshua and the army of Israel, it was God. It basically means the Lord beat the daylights out of them. That's what it means. It means the Lord just literally beat the daylights out of these five kings. You say, how is that possible? The Bible says it was the Lord that did it. It wasn't Joshua. It wasn't the armies of Israel. It wasn't the armies of Gibeon. It was God that was fighting on their behalf. Listen. If you're going to have spiritual victory, you need God fighting on your side. It's great to have your friends with you. It's great to have your family praying with you. It's great to have your church family on your side praying with you. But ultimately, it's not the preacher that gives you victory. It's not the Sunday school teacher that gives you victory. It's not your family or your friends. Hey, listen, it's the Lord that gives you victory. Somebody say amen. The Bible says the Lord fought for them in verse number 10. The Bible's teaching that Joshua needed to rid himself of these kings. These kings were occupying territory that belonged to Israel. And I'm persuaded to believe that today there are spiritual kings in your life that occupies territory that belongs to you. You say, what type of kings are you talking about? Well, it may be a king of doubt. And that king of doubt today is pushing you out. God has blessings for you. God has comfort for you. God has things for you. But you're allowing this enemy king of doubt to cause you to struggle and not to believe God's word. You're not trusting in the promises of God. You're actually questioning today, can God actually do this? Can God deliver me? Can God help me? And all of a sudden, the king of doubt lords over that territory of the blessings of God in your life. You need to push him out. He is an enemy. That is your territory, not his territory. It is your territory. There's a king of doubt. There's a king of a besetting sin, a habit, or an attitude that's keeping you from having victory. That sin that's conquering you, that sin that's corrupting you, that sin that's controlling you today. A besetting sin or a negative attitude that keeps you from the territory that God has for you. It could be a king of doubt. It could be a king of a besetting sin. It could be the king of pride. You refuse to humble yourself and to rely on God's wisdom. You think your way is better. You think somebody else's way is better. You're looking to the internet or Barnes & Noble. You're Googling it and you think, I'll find it here on the internet. That's the answer to my problem. When all along the answer to your problem is God, somebody say amen. Listen, America's looking to this and they're looking to that. They're looking to government and they're looking to gold when they ought to look to God today. God is the one that's going to bring revival. God is the one that's going to bring refreshing. God is the one that's going to bring renewal to my life and to your life, and we need to trust in him. Somebody say amen. But that king of pride lords over the territory that God wants you to have. Then there may be the king of fear that lords over that territory, that spiritual territory that God is wanting to give you. You embrace worry and you focus on anxiety, and you're worried about everything that goes around you. Did you know this today, that God does not want us to have a spirit of fear? Did you know that? God wants you to be bold and courageous, like Joshua. God wants you to claim victory in his name. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God's not given us a spirit of fear. What has he given us? But of power and of love and a sound mind. God's not given me a spirit of fear where I have to worry about 2020. Where I have to worry about what's going to happen in the future. The Bible says God has given me a spirit of power, a spirit of dunamis, explosive power. God's given me a spirit of love, and love can conquer all things. Somebody say amen. He's given me a sound mind where I don't have to worry and be filled with anxiety, and I can push this king of fear out of the territory that God wants for me. You've got to be determined to fight. Listen, there are kings in our lives who hold these territories that belong to us, and God wants us to have victory. And you need to know this, that the first step in conquering your Canaan is to declare war on the devil, and you've got to have a determination to fight and to fight to win. God wants you to have the victory. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God, listen, overcomes overcomes the world. Listen to this. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He's talking about our faith in God, our faith in the Word of God, our faith in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I love this verse. Psalms 3, verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. You need to know this morning that God wants you to have total victory. Some would say amen. When you look at Joshua and he makes his declaration of war, you'll find that Joshua's declaration was first of all immediate in verse number 9. Joshua therefore came up suddenly, but not only was it immediate, but it was immense. When you read the text, you'll see in verses 17 down to verse number 20 that the Bible says that those five kings are going to run away in fear, and they run into a cave, five kings in a cave. And as they're on the inside of the cave, Joshua says, get a stone and roll it in front of the cave, and let's keep them there. And in verse number 19, the Bible says, and stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindermost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God had delivered them unto your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into a fenced city. There was a total victory on God's behalf for Joshua and the children of Israel. Listen, when you get serious with God, and you get serious with God and you begin declaring a fight against your enemies, God will so commit himself to you that even if it takes a supernatural miracle, supernatural measures to push back the darkness. Listen, God will fight for you. Not only do we see that spiritual victory comes through a declaration of war, determining to fight, but second of all, how about a demonstration of faith? How about a demonstration of faith? It took great faith for Joshua to go out and meet five Amorite kings. Joshua knows that this is the will of God. Joshua knows that this is the ultimate battle, that he will not have to go after those nations one by one, but God is bringing them right into the arena for Joshua to stand with God and to fight this ultimate epic battle against these Amorite kings. It took great faith for Joshua to do this. The Bible says in verse number 8, it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Do you know this? Joshua didn't know how God was going to give him total victory. He really wasn't for sure. He knew he had a battle. He had no idea what God was going to do. He didn't know about the hailstones that you read about in the chapter. Great big hailstones that the Bible says God slew more of those soldiers that way than he did with the sword, because they were on the run. He didn't know about the hailstorms. He didn't really know at that time that he's going to ask the sun to stand still. He just went out on faith. He took that first step of faith and began walking in the will of God. I don't know what God's going to do for you to take care of your enemies, but I do know this. You've got to take that walk of faith. You've got to have the first step. You've got to move forward and start moving toward the will of God and moving toward the ways of God. You've got to trust in the Lord. And this is exactly what Joshua did, and this is exactly what you and I need to do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 says it this way, but without faith, hear me today, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. God's not impressed by your money. God is not impressed by your house and your nice car and your education and all of these material things. God is impressed by your faith. Your faith in him, that you're living from God's hand to your mouth. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without a doubt, Joshua is diligently seeking the Lord. And God is going to mightily reward Joshua that day. When Joshua calls for the sun and the moon to stand still, God is lifting up his man in the face of all the people. God is telling them, I am walking with the man of God. I want you to know this today, and I'll be as bold to say this. God doesn't bless his church. God does not bless churches. God blesses his man. God doesn't bless churches. God blesses his man. As you pray for the man of God and you lift up the man of God's hands and you ask God to give him a boldness and you ask God to give him courage and you ask God to give him strength, as the man of God is being blessed within the will of God, it spills over to the people of God over and over and over and over again. You see this through the entire word of God. It happened with Moses when they lifted up his hands in that great battle on that day, that they lifted up the hands of Moses, and as the hands of Moses was lifted up and they were supporting Moses and praying for Moses, that the Bible says that the battle was being won. But when his hands went down and the man of God became weary and the man of God became weak and he couldn't keep his hands up, then they were losing the battle. God was blessing his man, and as a result of blessing his man, the people received the blessing. God blessed David on that day when he killed Goliath. God's blessing Joshua on this day as he's pushing back the enemies of God. Listen, I want you to know, you ought to pray for the men of God in your life. Somebody say amen. You ought to pray for the spiritual leaders in your life. You shouldn't throw stones at them. You shouldn't cast them down. You shouldn't ridicule them. You shouldn't set them aside. They ought to be on your mind. They ought to be on your heart. And they certainly ought to be in your prayers. Somebody say amen. You pray for the man of God. And here Joshua is being blessed by God. And God takes his man and lifts him up in front of all the people. And when Joshua said, "Son, be still, and moon, stay still," God hearkened to the voice of the man, because this man was living by faith in God. What a tremendous story. What an incredible act of faith. You need to know today, by faith, the invisible becomes visible. By faith, the unknown becomes known. By faith, the unseen becomes seen. And by faith, the uncertain becomes certain. Can I tell you this morning how strong and enduring faith is? The faith that Joshua had is no different than the faith that you and I can have. We can have power with God. We can prevail among men. We can walk with God in his will, all because of faith. Listen, here's how powerful faith in God actually is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, that is, cut in half. They say that Isaiah may have been one of them. Were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Listen to this. Of whom the world was not worthy. These men and these women of God that's living their life out in faith, walking in the power of God, walking in the will of God, the Bible says, of whom the world was not even worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth, but by faith they walked with God. It didn't matter what happened to them. It didn't matter what circumstances befell them. They walked with God, and God gave them spiritual victory. I don't know about you, friend, but I believe we serve a mighty God. Somebody say amen. And I want to challenge you here this morning. I want you to leave the church having your feet sod in the preparation of the gospel. I want you to leave the church this morning setting your heart on things above. I want you to leave the church this morning placing your eyes on the prize of what God has called you to do. I want you to leave the church this morning not being carnal, but being committed. I want you to leave the church this morning running your race and determining in your heart that I'm going to live by faith and faith in God. First key to spiritual victory, you've got to declare war. You've got to be determined to fight. Second key to spiritual victory, you've got to show a demonstration of faith. And then the third key to victory, you've got to have a divine Father on your side. If you're not walking in the will of God and trusting in God to fight the battles of life, friend, you're going to find yourself in a bad dilemma. But when you are walking with God and you're talking with Him and you're allowing God to fight on your behalf, you'll find that the Christian life is delightful. It is a blessing to walk in the light of God's glorious word. Look what the Bible has to say. Joshua realizes that time's against him. And what's happened is God has sent the hailstones, and the Gibeonites and the Israelites have banded together, and these two are pushing back these five kings. They are literally destroying them and slaughtering them as they move forward and claim that territory. And Joshua realizes that if he's going to take care of all five nations, he needs more time. And he's looking up at the sun, and he sees the sun going down, and he's looking at his watch, if you will, and he realizes that he's losing time, that pretty soon there's going to be no daylight. And what's happening is the people are escaping into the woods, and they are escaping and they are leaving, and he knows that it's God's will for him to drive out all of the enemies. And so God helps him. The Bible says in verse number 11 that the Bible says that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Ezekiah, and they died, and there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. God begins to help, but still Joshua sees there's not enough time. And in a reckless boldness act of faith, bold act of faith, Joshua, who's not consulted with the Lord, Joshua, whom he's got no word from the Lord to do this, knows that it's the will of God, knows that this is what needs to happen. In a bold act of faith in front of all of Israel, the Bible says in verse number 12, he said, "Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and moon in the valley." And the Bible says, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed." You've got to know that this absolutely blew the minds of everybody that was there. All of a sudden, daylight stays daylight. God gives a 24-hour period, if you will. God gives them an extra day. And all day long, the sun is shining. All day long, the sun is their guide. And they are fighting, and they are fighting. The Bible says in verse 14, "And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man," the voice of Joshua, "for the Lord fought for Israel." You know why God allowed this amazing miracle to happen? Something that's against the laws of logic, something that's against the laws of nature. Do you know why God allowed this to happen when Joshua said, "Sun, stand still"? The Bible says, "For the Lord fought for Israel." Listen, Joshua's intercession brought heaven's intervention. And what you need to know today is Joshua communed with God and talked to God. The Bible actually says over here at the verse, it says that the Lord, that Joshua spoke to the Lord, and he communes with God. And as he communes with God and he prays about the will of God for the people's life, his intercession brought heaven's intervention. And don't lose that this morning. The intercession of the man of God, the intercession of the child of God, brought heaven's intervention in the problem. You know what you need today to help fix your problems? You need somebody praying for you. And in a few moments, we're going to give you that opportunity for you to come down. And our pastors have been waiting for you all week long. As a matter of fact, Curtis, you can come to the piano. They've been waiting for you all week long. They've been praying for you. They have been waiting for this moment that they can take you by the hand, bow down here at this altar, and tell you what God can do in you and through you and for you. God loves you today. If you believe that, say amen. And there are people here that love you and want to pray with you. And all of a sudden, the intercession of the man of God brought about intervention for the people of God. The Bible tells us here, watch this, in verse number 12. It says, Joshua spoke to the Lord before making his bold announcement. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand still. He spoke to God. We have no idea what he said to God. All we know is that he is interceding. He is praying. He is asking God to help the people. He's asking God to help him. He's asking God to help him to be in the middle, in the midst of God's will. Listen to this. God permitted that miracle because God would not allow the darkness to override their destiny. And you catch that this morning. God would not allow the darkness of night to come upon them, listen now, and override their destiny. Listen, God's got a destiny for you, child of God, and that destiny is for you to have victory. That destiny for you is not to live in defeat, but to live in delight of God's word. And God will push back the darkness. If God's got to hold the darkness back and work a miracle in your life as you pray and you seek the will of God, then that's exactly what the Lord will do. He loves you so much that he will help you to push back the enemy and to push back the darkness so you can conquer your Canaan and possess your spiritual blessings that God has for you and has for me. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Did you know this morning that God is still in the business of providing intervention on our behalf? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Listen, seeing he ever lives to make intercession. Oh, I'm so glad that God's interceding on my behalf this morning. God the Son's looking to God the Father and says, David needs this today. David needs this provision. David needs this protection. David needs this power. As I commune with God, God the Son communes with God the Father, and through the operation of the Holy Spirit of God, God blesses his people. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but that excites me. It excites me because I know that God is on my side this morning. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 21, or verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, say it with me, who can be against us? If God be for me, say it with me, who can be against me? If God's on my side, if his word is on my side, his power and presence is on my side, then what in the world could overcome me? What can bring discouragement to me? Well, the answer is nothing, because God is standing on your side. This morning, God will do whatever it takes to push back the darkness, to help you to stand in the light of his divine will and conquer your enemies today. But you must come and pray. And in a bold act of faith, declare to your enemies, I'm standing with God today, no matter what happens. If you believe it, say amen. Father in heaven.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.